viewers, but apparently we've had 26,000
for
the last show.
Almost as good as Retro.
Almost.
Gina, it's been a pleasure to have you here over the last couple of weeks. I hope you've enjoyed your trip to Aussie.
I have. I've really enjoyed it. I'm going to miss you all.
Yeah, we'll have you back, hopefully.
Soon.
You've got a long flight ahead. Thanks.
Look forward to that. Hope you got the left-hand blinker on when you walk on that plane.
Sky's paying for it. You'll be turning right.
You'll be going right.
We're out of time. It's been a big show. We've had a lot to get through. Thanks, boys. We'll see you next week. That's it for today's edition of Racing Retro. Thanks for being with us. Have a good week.
Now, Sky Sports Radio is previewing key meetings earlier. Get your winners Wednesdays to Saturdays with previews for all the day's TAB meetings from 10:30 a.m. Monday and Tuesday mornings at 10:30, it's all the latest in greyhound and harness racing, followed by the day's racing previews. 7 days a week, your racing leader is Sky Sports Radio.
Red lights on. This sets. Stools are back and racing.
Complicates in front of Asher Can. Complicate in front, and Complicate goes all the way.
Hawks first, bursting through
on the inside, buffering. Moment of Change will lunge at him. Moment of Change and buffering in a photo. Millie at dead heat.
At the 100, Hawkspur takes the lead. Big win.
Welcome to Australia's most comprehensive racing coverage. On Sky Sports Radio, this is the National Racing Service. Here's Kevin Wolfe.
Good morning. Yes, here we are, Sunday morning on Sky Sports Radio, 28 to 11 after Racing Retro. Thoroughly entertaining look at this magnificent day of racing yesterday there at Royal Randwick with the championships. Time to get into Chasing and Pacing Rewind and talking about another champion. We'll say good morning to Greg Hayes. Hello, Greg.
Good morning, Kev. How are you?
But I'm very well. Talking about champions, Bow Tied. Tell me how it was at Menangle.
He was simply superb last night. Everyone's heard about his inter-Dominion deeds, and you know he's obviously won the last two quite convincingly. But last night, I think he's obviously 110%. He is feeling very well. James Rattray is full of confidence in him. It's been a while since we've seen James so aggressive with him in the early stages of a race, in a free-for-all race. Still, you know, a nice race to be won. Sort of between his two inter-Dominion victories, James in these sort of races wasn't overly aggressive, was happy to let things unfold and then go and win the race. But last night, wanted to be involved in the fight from the start. And I think it's a really scary thing for rival trainers, because if he's going to be driven like he's the best horse week in, week out, he's going to record some very easy victories.
Okay, so I think we've got Fred Hastings who's going to join us to chat about what happened last night as well. Freddie, you there? Good morning.
G'day, Kev. Yeah, good morning, everyone. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Freddie. Mate, in my time in harness racing, there's been some champs, and, you know, Black to Fate comes to mind straight away, but he did a lot of his free-for-all racing, obviously, in Queensland, and smoking up in Victoria. I'm the Mighty Quinn over in WA. But I think, you know, we've had Smooth Satin and Double Identity and Joe Fest. We've had some really nice horses in New South Wales, but no one really dominant, say, in the last 20 years. And I think, as the race caller, you know, riding the you know, being on that ride with Bow Tied must be a very special feeling for you.
Well, it's a privilege, Greg. I mean, I grew up in an era where we had some mighty horses in New South Wales, horses like, you know, Paleface Adios and Hondo Grattan and Koala King when I was first getting interested in the sport, and then got to see horses like Popular Arm and Westburn Grand and Gamelite, all that, and the Queenslander, Wandai Wonder, Wandai's mate. And then as a caller in the last 6 years, I've had the privilege of calling the three champs you mentioned. And it was funny, I was sitting here thinking about the champions I've had the pleasure of calling. And obviously, for various reasons, you know, Blacks Are Fake winning the inter-Dominion, the Miracle Miles and Mile performances by Smoking Up, and to have had the privilege of calling I'm the Mighty Quinn in an inter-Dominion grand final was just awesome. But there's no doubt I have to rate, out of the horses I've called, I have to rate Bow Tied as the best. I think he's shown his diversity, what he can do at 2 mile, sitting parked in amazing times, and then coming out in mile races and dominating, and It was an interesting point you made, Greg, about his aggressive or James' aggressive approach last night. A 25-8 first quarter, that would have really blown the cobwebs out for 2 weeks' time. And you don't like to get too carried away in a race call, and I try to be just a tiny bit conservative sometimes. But when you're calling this horse, you get caught up in it. And I think I made the mention in the run to the judge that he'll win the Len Smith Mile in 2 weeks' time. I hope I haven't put the mocker on him, but he just looks heads and shoulders above those that he's racing at the moment.
When you're calling a good horse like him, do you look at for him to extend at the same point on the racetrack every time? Because he does seem to, once he gets to the top of the straight, he just seems to lengthen it and put a couple on him, on his rivals. Do you watch for that acceleration as he comes off the turn?
I think you're not necessarily watching, but you're aware that that's his point. He has won races before. I remember one night when he first came on the scene up here in Sydney, and it was actually the night that it went through my mind, this horse is good, and he will go close. And I might have even, again, post-race, made mention of a miracle mile berth for him. He ran down a horse that Lauren Pinella was driving, and its name just escapes me, but it kicked probably, you know, the best part of 20 metres in front around the turn, and he was the chaser. And he really knuckled down, and it was more a dour performance. There wasn't that blinding acceleration. But in more recent starts, he's got that acceleration, and when James gives him a little bit of rein, he just responds. And I always go back to the great Ian Craig, race commentator. He always said that when a horse had any form of, you know, when a horse had that genuine acceleration, horses like Kingston Town readily come to mind, when clicked up, he would go up a gear and accelerate. That's the mark of any good animal, whether it's pacing, chasing or racing. And Bowtide has that, and he really does seem to lengthen at the top of the... It's like he knows, hey, that's the business end. But it all leads up to that point, and the things he can do in his races. He's versatile in that he can run a 25-8 quarter. He was 3 and 4 deep into that post the first time, Greg, as you would have seen. And, you know, he balanced up. He's just such a good-going horse, and he found the lead. And to run a 54-9 first half and have some pretty handy horses around him, it was a dynamite performance.
It's interesting. You know, I was standing just where the horse had come off the track, and Luke McCarthy drove past. I think he drove Mac Alert in the race, and he said, "Oh, that horse is just a freak." And Shane Tritton walked past me and said, "If James is going to drive him like that week in, week out, we can't get near him." And so, you know, I think while he was being driven a little bit softer in the early part of his races, in those free-for-all sort of races, it gave horses like Swarovski Lombo a bit of a chance to get to the lead, set his own tempo, and then kick home and try and hold him off. But if he's going to be part of these early speed battles and he can run those 25-8 first quarters and be part of that and still be there at the finish, he will just set up a picket fence at the moment. He'll just continue to win races.
Well, he's come home in 27-4, Greg, and that's on the back of working hard 3 deep, 3-4 deep, and doing a 25-8. I think James has been very clever the way he's handled this horse. He's not necessarily. It's kind of as though James has evolved with the horse, if that makes sense, and he's become far more understanding of what this horse's capabilities are. I mean, he's always known he's good. He's always known he's potentially great. I think he's one of the greatest we've had for a long, long time. And now as James is realising just what this horse has and the bottom that he's got, he is really letting him go. The interesting thing, Greg, will always be, whilst you and I are Sydney siders and maybe deemed a little parochial in the harness racing world overall, Australia wide, the one argument that does tend to pop its head up is, okay, we know he can run, you know, 150s at Menangle, and he can run world records over 2 mile at Menangle, and he's got an amazing record. He's won a grand slam of sorts for the Group 1 mile races and feature races at Menangle. What's he done interstate? And that's going to be a little bone of contention with some of our interstate colleagues and harness racing fans, much the way the Melbourne press didn't really take to Kingston Town when he was at his peak of his powers here in Sydney in the early 80s. It was only when he won 3 Cox Plates and won a Caulfield Stakes that the Melbourne press started to think, OK, well, he can go the Melbourne way. So I think the big test will be when Bowtide, you know, heads to Gloucester Park and takes on the horses in the Inter-Dominion. You know, he may get a little more credibility from outside of New South Wales, but overall, I think he's proven that he is one of the greats.
You mentioned the Len Smith mile in 2 weeks. James Rattray told me last night that after that, he'll then sit down and work out whether he wants to go to Queensland for the Winter Carnival, or he gives him a little bit of a freshen up and gets him ready. And I mentioned the Inter Dominion. You're talking about, going and defending the title. Definitely, that's on the agenda. But something he said to me last night that I hadn't heard him say before, and that's I'm also considering going to New Zealand. So, maybe with the Dormy out of the picture, James is thinking, well, we might go over to New Zealand and take on their best in a race like the New Zealand Cup, because he is such a great stayer, and what we've seen over the, the 3,000 metres of the Inter Dominion.
Oh, look, it sort of sent a chill up my spine then when you said that, because I thought, thank goodness, because I've always expected, or had a little expectation maybe, that last year he might have, obviously he had the Miracle Mile as his main go, but and then, of course, the Inter Dom. But it went through my mind, geez, wouldn't he be good in New Zealand after his first Inter Dominion win, after his Inter Dominion win this year over the 3009, sitting park, the way he did it, where James Rattray barely flinched. I've always considered that he would be very hard to beat at the Big Addington track over the 3,200 metres. So that's really encouraging and really good to hear. I wonder whether James would consider one of his, one of the things he did, of course, in Victoria. He actually domiciled himself, down in Victoria to let the horses acclimatise and the like, whether he does the same thing with the horse over in Perth.
Yeah, well, that's something that a decision that he's going to have to make as time gets close. And, of course, the property that he's training off at the moment at Exeter are not fully set up. They've only just purchased that. There's no track in there. If he wants to pace work the horse has to go into Goulburn. If he's galloping the horse, he takes it over to the Bong Bong racetrack. So he's doing a lot of work on the float at the moment. He's doing a lot of travelling on the float in that regard. What about some of the other races there last night? He's the Australian Pacing Goulburn 2-year-old filly. They'll now head off to Victoria. Hazel's Girl, a horse that Rob Sherry brought on the scene, and it was very, very impressive at its first race start. Went to Bathurst, didn't go very well there. Rob saying that maybe that first up run flattened her, but last night she was back to a brilliant best.
Yeah, look, she was very good. Came out quick. It was a good little speed battle initially for the lead, but for medium of the inside run and barrier one, she was able to hunt through when asked by Dave Morris to scoot through, and they went at 27-4. First quarter, which for that age group was a pretty fair effort, and she balanced up, she held the lead, and then she had to stave off the Purden runner My McKenzie, that was the long odds on favourite in the race, and ended up doing that by a bit over a length. It was a 5 metre victory at the end, and she's got a bit of upscope, Hazel's Girl. I think so too does the runner up. I think it'll be suited by the performance. But she's a nice filly, Hazel's Girl, and the second of the APG heats, which was run as race 9, Three Squared was sent around as a long odds on favourite, but it was Let Us Go Pippa, driven by Mark Purden, who tasted defeat in the earlier heat. He was driving one for Kerry Ann Turner, who was indisposed last night, Greg. But Let Us Go Pippa was able to finish off best at big odds and beat Three Squared and cause somewhat of a boil over. And I thought the run of the third horse, All Night and the Lady, wasn't too bad. Had to come from the back, and it was only a head away from the runner-up. It was a pretty fair effort. I think Bernie Hewitt's got a nice horse there in All Night and the Lady down the track.
Yeah. Just butting in there for you guys, so I've got to give you the result here. Yonkers, race 5 over the mile. It was 1, Winsong Jack, 3.32.90, 2, Maccat So, 1.63, Max Beach Boy, no third. And do me that again. So 1, 2, 3, 5 at Yonkers. We're about 90 seconds away. The third at Motukarara. There you go.
All right, Fred. In wrapping up, do you sit down and plan something for Bow Tide when he runs the Let's Smith Mile? Do you have a catchphrase or something, or you just let that cover as the race unfolds?
Greg, it's often fraught with danger going into a race with a preconceived script, if you want to call it a script. I was under a lot of pressure when Black's a Fake won to try and come up with one, because a lot of people drew to my attention that no horse had won 4 Inter Doms, and you've got to say something and, come up with something on the day. But if the script doesn't go to plan, if something is to go wrong, if you have a preconceived way that you might say something in a finish and it doesn't pan out, you can get a little bit lost. So apart from the time, and I've got to give you credit for the term the Tassie Terminator. I think I used that in an Inter-Dominion call or one of his races that he won. But pretty much what you hear coming out of the North and South in a call, particularly last night, as I said, you know, declaring him the winner of the Lensmith Mile in 2 weeks. I don't know that it was brave or silly, but I'm pretty confident in the horse's ability not to let me down. So, yeah, it just comes out, Greg. No preconceived, but look, he's a freakish animal. Certainly one of the best that our harness racing scene has had the pleasure of witnessing over the past probably decade to two decades. And I think he'll be continuing on his winning way, and I really hope he gets to New Zealand in November.
Good on you, Freddie, mate. Thanks for joining us. Just a different, you know, we hear from James quite a bit, and Barry Rattray as well, and I just thought we'd go for a different angle this week, and just to a man who's called all of his big wins here in Sydney, mate. Thanks for your time.
No, pleasure having me on. Thanks so much, Greg.
Okay, there he goes. Thank you, Freddie. So, okay, Hazy, what's left, mate?
Just quickly, Arden Rooney winning the Mildura Cup last night. As impressive as both sides was winning the Paul Fitzpatrick free-for-all. Arden Rooney, he brained his rivals. There was some talk that he may come towards the Lensmith Mile in a fortnight's time. We'll have to find out whether Kieran Manning wants to do that or not. But really exciting time for harness racing in New South Wales with that big meeting a fortnight today. Looking forward to that one.
Good on you, Greg. Great to chat to you. Thanks for that.
Good on you, Kevin. Thanks.
Greg Hayes there from Harness Racing New South Wales, and Fred Hastings talking about that wonderful, beautiful creature, Bow Tied, and plenty of other things in harness racing. As we continue with Chasing and Pacing Rewind, we'll have a look at what's happening in the world of greyhounds with Stuart Turner shortly. For now, though, this is the third at Montu Carrara. It's over 2,170. The favourite is number one, Miss Brown, at $4.40.
Next, Desirable Sticks from Dreamcoat, and then came Real Raider. Two lengths to Texas Ruler and two lengths to It's a Leggy Lass from Miss Judgeford and Totoko Kid. And about 10 lengths away last of all is Take a Gamble. Delightful Jack's taken hold going out of the straight. It's run to the centre of the track. Despite the efforts of Stephen McNally to get the horse back down, it's had an eventful first 400 metres this leader. And it's down on the pegs again, Delightful Jack, and leads by two lengths. Second is Liz Lord, and running third, Miss Brown, as Liz Lord leaves the trail to go out and around the front runner. Shani Bale fourth, and two lengths away, Desirable Sticks outside of Dreamcoat, then Real Raider. Next to the pegs, Miss Judgeford, and a length away, Texas Ruler from It's a Leggy Lass. Last two, Take a Gamble and Totoko Kid. Into the back, and Liz Lord's taken back over by the 1250 metre mark. Over Delightful Jack, who's trailing second and racing more tractably now too when that cover came. Miss Brown's two back third. Shani Vale is running four back the inside four. A neck Desirable Sticks, and then came Dreamcoat inside of Real Raider. Three wide, It's a Leggy Lass, and down next to the pegs, Miss Judgeford. Covered up by Texas Ruler and Totoko Kid, and Take a Gamble are the last two. 1,000 to go. It's Liz Lord and N.R. McGrath out by a length and a half. Delightful Jack trails second, and three back the inside as Miss Brown. Goes back to fourth now as It's a Leggy Lass went up to Breeze into third. Desirable Sticks is fifth in the running line. And Shani Vale four back the pegs underneath of Real Raider as Miss Brown went roughly and has been retired from the race. It might have gone amiss, Miss Brown, the way it just dropped out. Bobby Butt's taken the horse out of the race. The leader is Liz Lord by a length. Second, It's a Leggy Lass, and third, the leader's back, Delightful Jack, waiting for the go harness lane. Take a Gamble shooting up three wide around Real Raider from Texas Ruler. Next to the inside then is Desirable Sticks, but reined up from Shani Vale to Toko Kid, Miss Judgeford and Dreamcoat, and Miss Brown's out of the race. Coming up towards the last turn, 400 to go. Liz Lord leads the neck over It's a Leggy Lass, and three wide Take a Gamble. Delightful Jack getting the go harness lane now. Texas Ruler's wider out. The widest of all is Totoko Kid. Liz Lord leads. Delightful Jack's a length away. And then came It's a Leggy Lass. Liz Lord half a length in front. Delightful Jack's up on the inside. And then It's a Leggy Lass and Real Raider. Liz Lord holding. Margin half a length on Delightful Jack and Real Raider. And Liz Lord on debut will win it. Liz Lord a length and a quarter has beaten Delightful Jack and third Real Raider. It's a Leggy Lass ran fourth. Then came Desirable Sticks. Shani Vale, Dreamcoat, Texas Ruler, Miss Judgeford, Take a Gamble and Totoko Kid. Good news for Miss Brown. She's coming around the home turn. Macleg's just seemed to go.
So race three, Monte Carrara there. The result was seven, Liz Lord, $10, $4. Six, Delightful Jack at $1.30 and five, Real Raider at $1.90. At 11 to 11, in just a moment, we'll look at the world of greyhound racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Bloodstock.com.au is Australia's largest online racehorse trading website, allowing you to quickly and easily trade on your former favourites to help fund your next champion. Bloodstock.com.au helps sell horses across all categories, from tried horses and broodmares right through to weanlings, yearlings and even stallions. List your horse today for only $99 and receive inquiries straight away. Head to bloodstock.com.au, the simple way to trade every day.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debt into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focused on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader. Racing leader.
10 to 11 on Sky Sports Radio, Chasing and Pacing Rewind. Kevin Wolfe here this morning, now joined by Stuart Turner from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. Stuart, good morning.
Morning, Kevin. How are you going?
I'm well, thank you today, Stuart. Thanks again for talking to us today. Tell us about, I guess, the Maitland Cup heats. Let's start there, Friday night.
Yeah, that's right, mate. We've had a great few days of greyhound racing across the country. And as you said, Maitland on Friday night was the place to be. We had eight heats of the PPK Group, Group 2 PPK Group Maitland Cup. $40,000 to the winner up for grabs in this one. It was Zipping Saxon who took the time on us with a super 24.91 run. A couple of other impressive winners were Spacecraft, who's been absolutely flying in recent months, and Le Grand Logie, the local hope. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of support and money on Le Grand Logie in this Friday's final. But look, the one for me in the final to beat is Black Frenzy. Zipping Saxon's kennel mate, also from also trained by Jason Mackay. Now, Black Frenzy is now unbeaten from six starts. Looks a potential superstar. Has box eight for the final, which should help. And look, Black Frenzy has already shown he's very powerful over this distance, and he's already won from out wide at Maitland early in his career as well. So he likes the track, and I reckon he's the one to beat in the final. But look, should be a super night at Maitland this coming Friday. Can't wait for that one. And of course, all the build-up to the night, as well as the field form and expert picks, will be available at thedogs.com.au.
Okay, let's have a look at Wenty Park then on Saturday night, talking about, I guess, Zipping Midge and Ruta Khan.
Yeah, that's right, mate. We had some terrific action at Wentworth Park last night. Now, we've got one eye on the forthcoming Group 3 Evans & Son Ladies Bracelet later this month, which is always a fantastic race. And with that in mind, as you said, there were fantastic wins for Zipping Midge, another from Jason Mackay's kennel last night at Wentworth Park, and also a greyhound I have a lot of time for, Ruta Khan. This chase has had a superb career, and she's just hitting form again. She's got a Group 1 title under her belt, and look, I've just got a feeling Ruta Khan has got one, well, at least one big win left in her, I think, this year. So keep an eye on Ruta Khan over the next few weeks. And there are also good wins at Wentworth Park last night for the likes of Mr. Writer and Senorita Pearl. So some terrific action at Wentworth Park last night, and of course, the full results and race replays are available now at thedogs.com.au.
Stuart, tell us all about Cleanser, the big rap and the big vibe around Cleanser.
Yeah, that's right. Now, alongside the Maitland Cup heats this week, the big talking point in greyhound racing in New South Wales has been the emergence of Cleanser, this potential superstar. Now, Cleanser ran just outside the track record at Dapto on Thursday night, won by almost 16 lengths. Absolutely incredible performance from a greyhound on debut. Definitely one to watch. If you haven't seen that race, check out the race replay now. It's absolutely wonderful performance. I know that trainer Gary Williams and the owners have been, well, they've been handing in offers well into six figures for this greyhound. Now, of course, it's very early days, but Cleanser could be something very, very special indeed. He may get a run in the final at Dapto this Thursday, so keep an eye out for that. But Cleanser could be a potential superstar to watch. And look, it's always fantastic, isn't it, when these greyhounds explode onto the scene and you're just really keen to see where they're going to go next. So look, keep an eye out for Cleanser. Could be a fantastic story.
Okay, we've just got a couple of results here before we continue. Stuart Meadowlands, the fifth, has just been run. It's all clear. The numbers were 2, 6, 8, 7. 2 Diamonds said 271.40. 6 Cobalt Man 158. You Bet Your Glass 280. And Case later was fourth, 2, 6, 8, 7 at Meadowlands. Monte Carrara, the third, we gave you 7, 6, 5, and 2. Yonkers, it's all clear. The fifth on 1, 2, 3, and 5. We're 2.5 away from the fourth at Ascot Park, over 2,700 metres here. The favourite is 13 Only in Rome at 360, and then 14 Jackie's Choice at $5.10. So that's, I guess, Stuart, a bit of a chat about what's happened in the past few days. What about what's coming up? What can we look forward to?
Yes, we've got another busy week in greyhound racing across the country, and especially in New South Wales this coming week, of course. They go at Canberra in the ACT this evening, and then in New South Wales this week. Well, on Monday, we've got a big meeting at Nowra with the heats of the Group 3 Summer Puppy Classic. Keep an eye on Fantastic Spiral. He's probably my pick for the series there. And they also go at Bathurst and Wentworth Park on Monday. Tuesday, we've got good meetings at Goulburn, Lismore and Gosford. Wednesday, a busy day with racing at Maitland, Bull Eye and Richmond. Thursday, they go at Dapto and Grafton. And then Friday, Casino, Unibet Gardens, and of course the Maitland Cup final, big night at Maitland. And on Saturday, Wentworth Park, Richmond, Unibet, and Unibet Gardens as well to finish off. So look, busy a few days, of course, in greyhound racing. And look, the form, fields and expert tips are available at thedogs.com.au. And just a couple of quick ones to finish, mate. We've got the Group 2 Futurity final at Albion Park this Thursday. I like over here in that one. And congrats to Jason Marley. He took out the Greyhounds WA final at Cannington last night with Stangified, who is one of the hottest greyhounds in WA at the moment. Well done to him. So, look, as ever, there's plenty going on in the world of greyhound racing.
Do you ever get a day off, Stuart? It's just all go every day, isn't it?
It certainly is at the moment, mate. Well, I'm off to Europe in a couple of weeks for a bit of a holiday, so, mate, I can't complain too much. But, look, loads going on at the moment, and look, a fantastic few days coming up as well.
Good on you. Thanks for your time.
You take care, mate. Bye-bye.
Stuart Turner there from Greyhound Racing New South Wales, wrapping up our Chasing and Pacing Rewind, which you hear every Sunday morning here on Sky Sports Radio from about 10:30. Now, they're not too far away a start here, Ascot Park Race 4. We have the All Clear Meadowlands, the fifth. We have also the All Clear Monte Carrara, the third, on 7, 6, 5, and 2. At 4 to 11, we might go to Ascot Park here for the fourth, and it's Jackie's Choice, number 14. Now the favourite at 390.
This is tricky. I went for Jackie's Choice in the end of this. I rate Just a Dale pretty highly, though, number 2. It's around about the $6 marker. I like the 9 Flight Deck, Frank Brown's runner. Now, it's drawn to be unlucky, I know, and it's been unlucky the last two starts, but I still rate it just a touch. It's as good as anything in this field, I think. And then the 13, that Only in Rome. I don't mind Only in Rome. And the ruffian, this is that Blow a Cloud, and I was going to put Utility Patron in here. Look, it's very well bred, isn't it? It's had it for Shania Patron, and there's nothing wrong with O'Gara either. O'Gara's a nice horse. They were both okay. They were both doing their work really good late in the trial, and I think that the 2-7, a mobile 2-7, will suit them both, actually. O'Gara, who has the gold cap, and Tilly Patron, the white one. So, yeah, this is a bit of a headache race, this. He's a good-looking horse, that O'Gara, number 10, and he's at $10. Tilly Patron's at $29, and to be fair, he probably went better than Tilly Patron, but she just strikes me as one that she'll improve greatly on the run. She's only a 3-year-old. O'Gara's a 4-year-old out of Happy Sunrise by Real Desire, and Tilly Patron's underboard diet of Shania Patron. It's been a very good breed. And this O'Gara customer, yeah, I don't mind the look of him. I like the look of that Blow a Cloud. So if we get a $22 wear on here, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Really? And Jackie's Choice now goes favourite. Interesting little lineup. And I don't know about you, Jace, but I tell you what, the temperature is dropping a little bit up here.
it's pretty low down here, Dave, but mind you, it wasn't high to start with.
Yes, it was. It was in double figures. I bet it's not now.
Yeah, it might have been 10.1. Wow. Yes, I hope that rain stays away, but it's starting to brew up again just behind you, so look out. And in front of you.
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah. Never mind. Righto, good luck with this. This is tricky. Corrie Care Colours. 2 today for Dexter, and he's on Jackie's Choice in this. Mobile on the move, the Alford Contracting Mobile Pace. Jackie's Choice, race favourite. Dexter Nunn shooting for a hat trick here. And the Corrie Care Colours on Jackie's Choice, race favourites on the tote at $360, $1.60. Rockefeller from 1. Just a Dale is drawn beside that in various spot two up the creek as the Red Cap, Kilkenny, Turk, Blow a Cloud. Over the outside of those to Wayward Rock, Flight Deck on the second line, O'Gara and Tilly beside it, Tank Commander only in Rome, and over the outside, Jackie's Choice. Mobile 2,700 metres. Good line up front. Getting down to the start. Rockefeller has the pole spot. Green light. They're off and running. Rockefeller came out at speed. Just a Dale. Wayward Rock on the outside's being sent forward at speed. Flight Deck is in behind those. Oh, Galloper back in the field. Tank Commander went up in the air. Running up three wide as Blow a Cloud on the outside and up the creek is just between the pair of them. Right on its back. One away from the fences. Kilkenny Turk. A length back to O'Gara. Then Tilly Patron on the outside is